Dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host and guide for what I think of as an intelligence briefing on the war for the free world. A very important part of the war for the free world, of course, is the part that is under assault by communist China, namely Asia and other parts of the world beyond. The President of the United States has now for some time been promising a pivot to Asia in order to address this rising threat from the Chinese in various forms, economic as well as military. There hasn't been much to show for the pivot, but now there is going to be a trade arrangement with non-Chinese members of the Asian community, the so-called Trans-Pacific Partnership, which will constitute, by some accounts, the equivalent of a carrier battle group or more in terms of enhanced national security. To talk about the Trans-Pacific Partnership, or TPP as it's known, I'm very pleased to welcome back Rick Manning. Rick is the president of Americans for Limited Government, a very, very important organization in Washington these days. He formerly served as the public affairs chief at the Department of Labor during the George W. Bush administration and was with the National Rifle Association for a number of years. He's a columnist in The Hill, Investor's Business Daily, FoxNews.com, and elsewhere, and always a very, very welcome guest here. Thank you, Rick, for taking a few minutes to talk with us about the TPP and more.
Thanks for having me, Frank.
You have been very forthright about the concerns that you have about this deal. Let me just hasten to say, we don't know all of the particulars yet. It hasn't been released, the final text. It was just agreed yesterday, finally. Based upon what we do know, what are your concerns?
Well, Frank, in any deal like this, and let me be clear, this is a deal between the United States and 11 other nations, including and not just Asian nations, but Canada, Mexico, Chile, Peru, Australia, New Zealand, Malaysia, Brunei, Japan, Vietnam, and I think that's essentially the whole Ring of Fire is part of this deal. And it's with a lot of countries that have left out. The idea behind it is that they're going to create a trade partnership zone that will allow for free flow of goods and services, and through that economic freedom, allow for the growth of alliances that will effectively isolate the Chinese in terms of their attempt to create hegemony over the Asian Pacific region. The challenge is really on this is a number of areas. Number one, there is a real question as to how this thing's going to be governed. And I think all of your listeners should really take a look at the governance of any agreement, because that governance in and of itself is going to dictate what happens under that agreement. It's a, I'll give you a simple example. It's a 12-nation agreement. And if it's a simple majority in terms of finding somebody guilty under the terms of the agreement, then Brunei, Malaysia, Vietnam, Chile, Peru, and one other country, Mexico, could in fact find the United States guilty of violating the agreement and dramatically change our laws that we pass in a constitutional way. So there's a sovereignty issue. Secondly, the agreement has a provision that we've been told it has a provision based on people who looked at it before it was signed, that would allow the 12 countries to allow any other nation to join. And how that process is undertaken is significant, because it could in fact negate the congressional capacity to ratify the joining of any other nation with a treaty with the United States. So we're really concerned from a constitutional perspective, does this obviate U.S. constitutional sovereignty? And if it does, then Congress needs to say no.
The deck, again, as with the Iran deal, has been stacked against Congress saying no. And I'd like to come back to that in a moment with you, Rick Manning. But for the moment, staying with this issue of sovereignty, you've also pointed out that in addition to the free movement of goods and services, there is believed to be a commitment to the free movement of people as well. Against the backdrop of what we're already witnessing with respect to these so-called refugees, migrants, legal and illegal here and in Europe as well, what do you anticipate would be the repercussions of that commitment were it to be approved?
Well, I think with the free movement of people, you end up, obviously you end up with a question is whether or not we can even pretend to manage our borders under this agreement, recognizing that it does include both Canada and Mexico. For all intents and purposes, at that point, we've ceased to be a nation that has a firm border, and in fact would be able to, corporations and others would be able to just move employees around regardless of U.S. law. That's a point in the law that we're going to have to take a very close look at, because the devil's in the details. When you look at what has been released for an executive summary, there isn't necessarily the as strong of the concern, but anybody who's ever done anything in terms of what this administration's dealing with is, you have to look at what they're really doing, not what they sent out as a PR sheet. And I think there's a legitimate concern about that.
For sure. In that regard, Rick, as you've pointed out, and I have as well, the thing that's all the more mind-boggling is that the record of this administration, most recently, we just sort of mentioned the Iran debacle, the Obama bomb deal. But before that, you had everything from the New START treaty with the Russians, which was a fiasco, to the Bo Bergdahl swap. I mean, this is not an administration that has comported itself well in these negotiations, to say the very least. One of the questions, I guess, Rick, that is sort of implicit in something you just said about the way changes could be made, including adding new members to this accord, is the possibility that the country that it seems to be all about keeping out may nonetheless be allowed to come in to this kind of agreement, namely communist China. Do you think that's a distinct possibility? And if so, what might the implications of all this be?
I don't just think it's a distinct possibility. I think it's a probability. When you look at it, if the depending on what the rules are for allowing a country in, a simple majority of six, seven member nations could in fact say we want China into the deal. And if the U.S. doesn't agree, the U.S. is isolated in their own tree. And that's really the way this is likely, in my estimation, the most likely occurrence over time, is because there have been a lot of prohibitions on labor stuff and environmental stuff that have been put into this treaty to try to draw Democrat votes in the Senate and the House of Representatives. And yet, if China comes in and says, you don't have to follow any of that stuff, let's do the same terms of the deal, let us in, and you can trade with us, you can just ignore the United States. At that juncture, we've effectively negotiated China's taking over the region economically and not just militarily. So that's the real challenge here, is Congress has to be very smart about this. They have to look at it not just from a gee whiz, we're going to sell 10 more widgets to Vietnam perspective, but also is how does it play with it from a geopolitical perspective. Does it in fact create a noose that's around our neck where we end up giving away our capacity to manage our government, manage our economic policy, manage our trade policy, and giving it away to the whims of the Sultan of Brunei? I mean, that's the kind of stuff that we've got to take a look at. And anybody who says they trust President Obama to negotiate this based on U.S. best interests simply hasn't been paying attention to what's been going on the last 6 years.
For sure. Rick Manning, fortunately, you have been paying attention at Americans for Limited Government and in all of the outlets that you communicate, including this one, for which we're very grateful. Keep up this good work, my friend. It obviously is going to be difficult for Congress at this point, with fast-track authority having been given to the president to do the kind of vetting and careful consideration that you're talking about. But there do seem to be an awful lot of people who are opposed to the deal already, and I think there will be more the closer they get to look at the fine print. Again, keep up the good work, my friend. Come back to us again very soon. Next up, we'll talk with Mike Gruntman about the Kremlin and missile defense, cheating in the past, and where is this likely to go in the future. That and more straight ahead.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.